Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to see this opportunity to share with you at a midweek tonight, and thank you all for coming out tonight to join with us. A couple of announcements. Just Richard's continues to be off this week on holidays, so if you are in need of a minister, Stanley is your point of contact there. On Sunday, God willing, then Bob Allalay will be taking the morning service, and in the evening will be Stanley himself conducting worship. I've been asked to announce the ladies' sponsored walk. So all ladies interested in that, it's on Monday the 7th of May. The time starts at 9:30. And if the fundraising from that, the sponsorship will go towards Drumray and Drumore PW funds. And if you want to get a sponsor form for that, please see Nessie after or any more information, and she will help you out there. Tonight we're going to be looking at John's letter, the first letter, 1 John, chapter 4 tonight. So if you turn with me near the end of the New Testament. On John chapter 4, and we're going to be reading verses 1 to 6. Let's hear God's word. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. And we thank God for the reading of his word. So many of you will know that I used to work as a manufacturing engineer. And the company that I worked for made tire pressure sensors. And our team was responsible for setting up production lines, new production lines for new products. So it was our job to make sure that the parts that come off the end of line were at certain standard and certain quality. And to do that, there was a number of checks along the way. Certain tests were in place to make sure that certain things were at a certain standard. So whether it was a test to check the solder joints or the pressure or certain seals were in place, these things were put in place. And they had to be there to ensure that a genuine part came off the end of the line. In this letter of John's, there's a number of tests that he provides for believers to have assurance that what they see and hear is true and genuine. And he states his purpose in chapter 5 and verse 13 for writing his letter. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So he's writing this letter here to believers. But from the very start of the letter, John's been clearly making a distinction between those who are genuine believers and those who are false. There were many false believers who had gone out of the church at that time, and they were trying to lead others astray. For example, back in chapter 1, you maybe know that chapter very well, where it talks about sin. But these people were claiming to be without sin. And they were not only trying to deceive others in that belief, but they were actually deceiving themselves. And John wants to show these people up for what they really are and how they have a false confidence in what they believe. But those who are truly children of God, they can have an assurance, a real assurance of eternal life in Christ. Not because of their own doing, but because they're dependent on Jesus, the righteous one who is that atoning sacrifice for our sins, as it says back in chapter 2 and verse 2. We're only looking at a small part of this, 6 verses tonight in chapter 4. But in this passage, we will encounter a couple of these tests. And this section is commonly referred to as the testing of the spirits. And we see that clearly in verse 6, where it says, this is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. At this point, John's urging his readers to discern what is truly, genuinely from the spirit of God, as opposed to that which is from the false teachers and the devil. And you'll see that this passage comes between two sections which talk about love. And it could seem like this section's really out of place here. It doesn't seem to fit with the flow. But it's a message that is vital, because so often false teaching comes in the name of love, doesn't it? And this is in between there to keep that reminder. But look at the end of the chapter 3 before we come to these verses. It says this, that we are to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So they're told to believe by the Spirit. But then here in verse 1 of chapter 4, he says, do not believe every spirit. To believe or not to believe. John is making clear that his readers have to have a bit of wit about them. They're not to be gullible and just believe everything that they're told. They're to test it and see if it is the truth and see if it's right. I'm sure you know people that you can tell a big yarn to and they'll lap it up quite easily. They'll just believe every word without even thinking about it, without processing it through their mind first. But John tells his readers here to test the spirits to see whether they're from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This isn't just one false prophet that's out there, but it's many who are trying to lead them astray. And this is so applicable to us today, isn't it? We look out in the world around us, there's so many influences. Many people claiming to have the truth, to know the way of truth. Many even who will claim that they're part of the Christian faith, but they're actually wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. Coming often in the name of love, but actually there's no substance to what they're saying. It's not genuine, it's not true. Are we so gullible just to believe what people are saying just because they maybe claim they're a Christian, or maybe because they show some sort of care for you? Or do we actually test and think about what people are saying before we trust it to be true? I'm not saying that we have to become completely suspicious of people or go over the top in that. But we should be discerning in what we are hearing, what we are listening to regarding what is truth. And John gives two tests here which help to discern what truth is. And he also gives some assurance to genuine believers as they take a stand for Christ. And the first test is to do with what these people are saying. There's a need to confess that Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man. There are some key doctrines that are really central to our Christian faith, and the fact that we're called Christians would lead you to believe in an emphasis on the fact that Christ is pretty important. I think you would agree with that. Jesus has to be central to what we believe, and he must be kept central. But what do we believe about Jesus? Does it really matter what we truly think about him? Is it not just enough to believe that he existed, that he came to save? Or do we need to know more than that? Well, John makes clear here that it's vitally important that we have a certain understanding of who Jesus is. It's by this understanding that we can test if someone is genuinely filled with that Spirit of God and speaking the truth. Look at verse 2 and 3, where it says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Jesus, the divine Son of God, coming in the flesh, of course, is what's known as the incarnation. And we could spend all night trying to get our heads around that, but I think we'd be completely fried before we got out of here tonight. Even the best theologians can't get their head fully around this mystery. But we must have a basic grasp of what is so important to our faith. Jesus is fully God and fully man at the same time. He's not like Superman, who one moment is walking down the street as Clark Kent and next minute he turns into Superman. No, he's not even 50% Jesus, 50% God. He's 100% God, 100% man at the same time. It's hard to get our heads around this and it doesn't even make sense, but Jesus was there from before creation. It talks in the Bible about how everything was created by him and for him. Look at what John said in his gospel at the start of it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that was made. So Jesus has always been fully God. But he wasn't always fully man. course, at Christmas time, we celebrate that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, and he took on that human nature. But in doing that, he didn't give up his divine status. He didn't leave heaven empty of his presence. Because if he did that, then he would cease to be God. But why is this so important for us to believe? Well, if you deny that Jesus is fully God or deny that he is fully man, then you're denying that he is the Saviour. Because as I said earlier, at the back of start of chapter 2, Jesus spoke of being the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. If Jesus wasn't God, then he wouldn't have been that perfect sacrifice that was required, and he couldn't have atoned for anyone but himself. If Jesus wasn't human, then he couldn't have taken away our sins on our behalf, because it would have just been for nothing. He couldn't have taken our place. But because he was fully God and fully man, he was that perfect atoning sacrifice as he suffered and died on the cross in our place as our substitute. But further to this, then, Jesus was also resurrected in the flesh. On the third day after his death, he appeared to many disciples and others in bodily form. You can read about that at the start of Acts, where he was raised back up to heaven in bodily form, where he continues to reign as that God-man. Folks, Jesus is the foundation of our Christian faith. And if this truth about him is removed, then what do we have? It must be kept central. And that's why John uses this as a test to qualify those prophets who were claiming to have the Spirit of God in them. Anyone can stand up and say they're a Christian or say, I've got the Spirit of God in one. But it's when you probe deeper to what they actually believe is when they're proved genuine or not. If someone is claiming to proclaim a message in the name of Christianity but doesn't confess and truly acknowledge who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us, then it's false. It's not of God. You've maybe had Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on your door at some point in your life. They'll claim to be from the Christian church. They'll say they come in the name of God, but they mislead many into what they think is the truth. They're a prime example of those who don't confess that Jesus is the eternal Son of God. They think that he was a created being. They also don't believe that Jesus was resurrected in bodily form from the dead, amongst many other false beliefs that they have. But yet many across the world are following them today. John said there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. And that's as true today as it was back then. There are many who will try and deceive people, try and be subtly taking them away from the truth and from the message of who Jesus is. I'm not going to point fingers at certain preachers or individual Christians in the wider Christian church. But those who take the truth of Jesus out of the message they present, they do not have the Spirit of God within them. Those who try to minimize who Jesus is or present some sort of moralistic message do not have the Spirit of God in them. Folks, we must test and discern what we hear. The name of Jesus must be lifted up and acknowledged that he is the only Son of God, begotten from the Father from before all ages, who took on flesh in order that we could be saved through that atoning sacrifice. It's only in him that we can have that assurance of salvation and eternal life. The second test then is to do with listening. And I hope you're all listening so far and continuing with me. But there is a need to listen to the Bible, knowing it is truth. I wonder what it is that you listen to. What is it that makes the most and the greatest impact on your life? What people or things are you listening to that is affecting your views or what you believe? Sad to say, I think that actually the world around us is influencing so much of what we think and believe. There's less of a distinction between those who are in the church and those who are in the world. It seems to be that we're blending in so much. So many people are glued to social media and on any number of devices. They're listening to the latest tweets from the pop stars or celebrities of the day. Some of them even have over 100 million followers. So many people are drawn to the desire for money, sex, or power. Millions are idolizing these people and what they say, wanting to be like them, wanting some sort of inspiration so that they can have that fame themselves. These false prophets John speaks of aren't celebrities as we know them today. But he says in verse 5, look what it says, they are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. They weren't sharing a true message because they didn't have Jesus central in their teaching. Their message wasn't of God because they didn't have the Spirit of God in them. It was a spirit of falsehood. Imagine with Richard on holidays this week and I decided to come here tonight and change things up completely. Instead of singing a few hymns at the start, John, we're going to sing just the latest chart hit from the pops. Instead of praying, we're going to do some yoga and meditate and some inner energy. And instead of reading from God's word and preaching, we're just going to have some sort of motivational speeches that will get us jizzed up for success in life and becoming rich. I wonder how many of you would sit quiet and just listen, or would you be out the door tonight? If you were to advertise these things outside, I'm sure there'd be many in the world wanting to come in to hear such things. And of course, I'm painting a picture of extremes here, and we know that that's not what we should be doing or listening to. But we must be careful of what we listen to. There are subtleties that creep in sometimes that we can become unaware of. Things of the world that creep into our lives that are influencing so much. We must test what we hear and we must listen to those things that we know are true. As in verse 6, John says, look at what he says in verse 6. He says, we, that is the apostles, are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. You could say it's a wee bit arrogant that these men are saying that they have to listen to them, that they have the truth. So what is it that John's getting at here? Well, if you go back to the very start of John's letter here, it talks about how he had seen Jesus. Look at what it says there, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. That is concerning Jesus. So John's message was genuine and true because he was an eyewitness to who Jesus is and what he had accomplished. As one of his chosen apostles, John walked with Jesus. He talked with him. He shared life with him. This was a unique message that was given to them as apostles. This message had great authority because it was given to them by God and they were witnesses to Jesus. So the test John puts to them here, to these people that receive this letter, to those in that church, he says that if they genuinely are a believer, they will listen to this genuine teaching, that teaching which keeps Christ central. Of course, we don't have the apostles around today or not around Jumrea, but we do have the Bible which contains the teaching of these men, this apostolic teaching. The Bible is the Word of God and it has been given to us. What a privilege it is that we have the Bible in our hands here tonight in a language that we can read and understand for ourselves. What a privilege that we have people who preach it in our churches and teach it to us in the different organizations, not just here but across the churches in our land. But God's Word must be kept central in all we do in a church and in our lives. It is only God's Word that is the ultimate truth in this world. The Bible is the inerrant word of God. Because as Paul said to Timothy in his letter, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And maybe you're sitting and you're agreeing with that tonight, but all too often we claim to be Bible-believing Christians. We say we seek to live by it, we seek to understand it. But do we actually demonstrate it in our lives? Maybe there are other things that have greater influences on us. What is it that you are listening to? What is it that's shaping your life? Do you really try to understand the Bible and really try to live by it and what it's teaching? Or is it just something you pick up when you come to church here? Or maybe it's one of a number of influences in your life. Maybe it's just on a par with other things in your life. But God's Word must be central. It must be above all else. And we need to be aware of what we are listening to. As Christians, we want to follow the truth, don't we? We want to follow God's word. But many in the world won't listen to it They don't want to listen. They often ridicule what it says in God's word, because people will listen to what they want to hear. But we must stand firm and not follow what is conflicting with the Bible. Those who know God will be shown to be genuine in their listening and understanding of God's word and living it out. But thankfully, though, tonight, we don't do that on our own strength. Those who are children of God have the Spirit of God in them. And we see that in verse 4, that well-known verse, which is central in this passage. Though I think it's often missed, you listen to it. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. In the world today, this idea of overcoming is often taken to be of your own ability, of your own effort, your own strength. And of course, there's many things that people can overcome on their own effort, and people have gone on to be successful in the world. I've heard the story of Albert Einstein, who one of the most intelligent men that ever lived, and developed the theory of relativity and other things. But he didn't speak until he was 3 years old, and his teachers, when he was young, thought that he was lazy and there was no hope for him. But you know that he overcame many things and showed a true genius that he was. And there's many things that we can overcome by putting our mind to it, putting your strength to it, putting your effort to it. But that's not what John's talking about here. He's talking about something much more than our own ability and our own effort, because our own effort will not be enough. And if we're resting on it, then we're in deep trouble. He's making clear that those who have remained in Christ and remained faithful have overcome the attraction of the Antichrist. That is, those false teachers who were trying to take them away from the truth. And this is not because of their own ability, because the one who is in them is greater than the one who is in the world. The devil, of course, is the master of all deceivers. Even the most intelligent in our world can't match up to his scheming plans. He tries to take people away from the truth in whatever way he can. But those who John is writing to have the Spirit of God within them. And later in this passage, in verse 13, he says, "We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit." It's only because of this that these children of God are able to withstand the lies, able to withstand these false teachers and overcome them. Often this verse is lifted out of context and it's used to justify many things of what people are doing. Sometimes we can use it to say that it's about overcoming temptation to sin. And indeed, it is the Holy Spirit that enables us to resist that temptation and to stand firm. But here the focus of John is more on resisting the false doctrines and false teachings about Christ. We must see the danger of minimizing the work of Christ, of going away from it and God's word. We must resist that. We must see that going away from Christ and his word is false. But there is an assurance here for those who are in Christ and have that Spirit within. Does that not fill you with a great confidence tonight? If you are a child of God, you have the Spirit of God within you. The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Because even though the devil will throw many things at us and try to take us away from the truth, we will not be overcome, because the life Spirit within us is so much greater. Those who are truly children of God, those who have been born from above, have that Spirit within them tonight. But I wonder tonight, are you assured of that presence? Are you assured of that Spirit of God living and active in your life? We've seen that these two tests are part of showing whether the Spirit of God is of God or if it's of something else. The belief we have in Jesus comes about by the Holy Spirit working in our lives, drawing us into that truth and knowledge and understanding of who God is. Jesus is the Son of God, fully divine yet human. And it's by confessing in this Jesus, who is that atoning sacrifice for our sins, it's by confessing in him that we know we have that Spirit of truth within us. There is no other way. And as we have the Holy Spirit within us, it helps us to listen to the Scriptures, to know the truth that is within them. He helps us to apply them to our lives, to grow in that sanctification and that knowledge of Christ and becoming more like him. As you go out into the world, you may not be testing parts in a production line, but we are called to have our wits about us. We're to test the things that we hear, the things that are spoken, the things that we listen to. But we can be assured tonight, if we live in him and he in us, nothing in this world will take us away from the truth of God, the truth of his word, the wonderful news, the wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God who gave himself as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So we go out of here tonight into the world, knowing that the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that he came into this world, that he took on flesh, that he was obedient in following that plan of salvation, that he went to the cross as that atoning sacrifice for our sins. He willingly went as our substitute. Lord, we thank you that on the third day Jesus was raised from the dead, and that his resurrection in bodily form meant that there was life for all who trust in him. Lord, we thank you that Jesus reigns today powerful, that he rules over all. And we thank you that when he left, he didn't leave us without a helper. We thank you that the Holy Spirit came. And we thank you that those who trust in Christ have that spirit of truth living in them. And God, we pray that as we know your presence with us, that we would seek to know more of you from your word of truth. As we look to the Bible, help us to understand it. Help us to rely on it. Help us to listen to it and what it's teaching us each day. We thank you that there is truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, tonight we thank you for that reminder that you who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We thank you that the devil does not have power over us. We thank you that sin does not have power over us anymore, but that we are victorious because of Christ reigning in us. So Lord, give us that assurance and confidence tonight, and be with us as we continue in our time of prayer together. In Jesus' name we pray.